Okay, good morning and welcome once again. Special welcome to Andy and Tanis. It's always great. I felt your presence this morning, even in worship. That was wonderful. Thank you for being with us. It was great. This morning, I want to take us one more step ahead and possibly finish with part three on something we've been kind of studying over the last couple of weeks, and that is the kingdom. You and I, God's children, have been called to establish God's kingdom on the earth. But we've been studying that there's another kingdom that also is being established, we know that kingdom is eventually going to fall, but it's good to be aware of what we're up against here in this world, and especially as we see some of the things unfolding in the day in which we live. And so we've been talking about the kingdom of darkness, which is very much around us and seems to be flourishing. So over the last couple of weeks, we have seen how Satan has been setting up his kingdom through many people in whom he has blinded the eyes and the minds of these people. In other words, he keeps these people in the dark concerning who he is and what he's up to. Because if they weren't in the dark, they wouldn't be blinded, right? I mean, that's who he uses. And he deceives them about who God is. Even Eve, you know, he's not really come up with a new plan. He used the same deception on Eve that he uses on people today. Now, and there's a reason that he is called the father of all lies, because he is the father of all lies. In fact, the Bible says there's no truth in him. He's a liar and there's no truth in him. John 8:44. But on the flip side, and aren't you glad here today, there's always a flip side. God is the only true God, and he also is setting up his kingdom, the kingdom of God, or the Bible calls it the kingdom of light, on the earth through many people unto whom God has shined the light of truth. The enemy uses deception. God's kingdom is set up by revealing truth in the hearts of his people. The enemy blinds the minds and the hearts of people through deception. So they're exact opposites. I mean, light and darkness. We are from the kingdom of light. We are called the children of light. So the Bible tells us that God has shined the light of truth into our hearts, into our minds. How? Through the revelation of his son, Jesus Christ, or the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know that under the law of first mention, and I brought this out last week, the first time the word kingdom, because we're talking about kingdoms here, the first time the word kingdom is used in the Bible is found in the same passage of scripture that we looked at last week in Genesis chapter 10, verse 10, where Babel is mentioned. First time the word kingdom is used. Now, I believe with all of my heart, and it's shown and proven true because I'm a teacher, so I study, I do a lot of studying, that any time a word is used for the first time, if you study in depth that first mention, you will find out so much about that, that you will have so much greater understanding of that word and what it's really all about. And so the word kingdom is used for the first time in Genesis chapter 10, verse 10. And in Genesis chapter 11, it gives more detail to what Babel is. So that was the first kingdom that man established, was Babel. And we know what happened back there in Babel. So we know what it is and what it represents. In chapter 11, the Bible says the whole earth was of one language and one speech. We're reading from Genesis chapter 11. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And they came together as one and decided to build a city and a tower whose top reached to heaven. And we saw from last week that three times man said, let us make, let us make. Now, we know that is mimicking deity, because God is the one who is the right to say, let us make. So here's mankind rising up and saying, let us make. And in verse 4 of chapter 11, he says, man says, let us make a name. Is that not, I said last week, I'm going to say it again, history repeats itself over and over. Man is still trying to make a name for himself. He's not thinking of making a name for God, for his God, but it's for himself. Man strives. Let us build a city and a tower. Now, the word tower is the word Megdala, which means a tower. But the interesting thing is it's taken from the root word gadel, which means to be large in body, in mind, in estate, or it means, or in pride. And that's man's goal, so to speak, is to be large, large, to be a god himself, to rise to that place where, I mean, come on, God, man is trying to create things that only God can create. And so Babel represents that. That is the first time the word the king or the word kingdom is used. And I believe it's very significant to the kingdom of darkness today. Nothing's changed. Man is still striving to do and to be just like the man of old. And we all know the story. God came down and he said, okay, we've got to disperse. And it says he confused their speech. And of course, man had to let off, because that shows us the power in unity. As long as they were all of the same purpose, God said, nothing will be restrained from them. And so there is great unity, or great power in unity. So that word means to be great in estate, honor, mind, in pride, to advance, to boast, to make great, and to magnify. Man is still magnifying himself. But we have been called to magnify Jesus. That's the kingdom we are called to establish. Not our kingdom, his kingdom. And even though the world thinks they're establishing their own kingdom, they are deceived. They are in the dark. They are not establishing a kingdom for themselves, but for Satan himself. So you see, God is very open. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. God's not keeping us in the dark. We know that it's Jesus Christ and his kingdom that we're exalting and magnifying. Amen? So the scriptures give us a lot of insight, as we've seen over the last couple of weeks, to what is called Mystery Babylon, spoken about in the book of Revelation. I used to wonder, what is this place? What is this city that, you know, has got the mother of all harlots written across her forehead? But it is exactly what we've just been looking at. It is the system of man. It is mankind exalting himself. Or let's just boil it all down and call it self-righteousness. Man in his own self-righteousness. A system whereby man is exalted, whereas man is great, man is to be honored. And I know, and if you look around, that system is very much at work today in the world, very much so. But you and I said earlier, are not of that system. But we are of the kingdom from above, the kingdom the Bible calls the kingdom of light, whereby we are not trying to obtain greatness or build a tower to heaven. We are in the tower. Do you understand? We're not trying to build anything. We are already in the tower that goes to heaven. And his name is Jesus. He is our strong tower. He is the light. And it's his kingdom of light, of Jesus, that we are called to establish, the kingdom of life. Jesus said in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. Now, here we have the kingdom of darkness and we have the kingdom of light. And God, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Therefore, let your light shine. Now, this morning, I want to talk about establishing the kingdom of God, which is the kingdom of light. How do we do this? Like, practically, how do we put this into practice? How does this work? Because the kingdom of darkness, we know, is pushing. And from a couple of weeks ago, we looked at some scriptures in the book of Thessalonians where it says that, you know, before the great day of the Lord, this is going to happen and that is going to happen. And I said, if we're interpreting that correctly, we're right in the middle of it. We're not waiting for it to happen. It's already happening all around us. And so I believe with all of my heart, God is calling us to pull out all the stops and shine brighter than we've ever shone before. You know, at the end of any race is when you give it your hardest. You see that finish line ahead of you? You don't lag off. No, you might lag off in the middle of the race, but when you see the finish line, you give her everything that you've got. But I think that we need to understand in God's family more about what it is, what it really means to let our light shine, and how do we practically do that? Because we want to. All of us has a desire to be the light of the world, like, and to shine our light. So this morning, we're going to go through quite a few scriptures just to kind of verify and to give us a greater understanding of what this light is and what God is using in order to establish his kingdom on the earth. So Jesus, first of all, said in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. That's you and me and every other born again child of God is the light. So it is through you and I in whom God will establish his kingdom on the earth. Therefore, you let your light shine. So let's first of all look at the word light. What does the word light mean in this passage of scripture? It's a Greek word, and it simply means just to shine or to manifest. When something is manifest, that means it's seen, right? To manifest as like rays. To manifest as like rays. Now, you and I could possibly have been or can be caught up in thinking that this whole thing is about our performance. That if our performance isn't right on the earth, we're not really shining lights to the world. Now, is that true? Well, you know, the end result should be good works. We're talking about performance and good works. I'm definitely not against good works, and neither is God. But that is not the root of the good works are only the fruit of letting your light shine, understanding what this really means. So what is this light? Where is it from? Psalm 119 tells us this. The entrance of your word, God, brings light. The entrance of your word brings light. That's why I've been speaking very much so on the fact that I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Wow. The light is the entrance of God's word. It just seems too simple. Is that talking about the whole Bible? If you read the Old Testament and read the law that was given to Moses, is that what brings light? In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 6, it says this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him, who is the light, of course, Jesus, might believe. He was not the light. In other words, John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You are the light. I'm trying to give us a real good understanding of what this really means. Verse 4 of John chapter 1 says, when Jesus, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with God. The same was with God in the beginning. And then it talks about how Jesus came. And the Word, pardon me, it says in John chapter 1 verse 4 says that Jesus came. In him was life. And his life is the light of men. So you are children of light. The light is in you. Let it shine. Jesus was life. That life is the light of men. Verse 14, and the Word, who was Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, full of grace and truth. So the entrance of God's Word that brings light into us is the entrance of the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what lights you up. That's what gives you the light. It's the revelation that you have that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that Jesus Christ took upon himself your sins, and he is your Savior. That is the light. Another passage of scripture that backs this one is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God who commanded light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. So we didn't do some great thing to become children of God. We believed the message we heard, and the light entered. And now we are children of the light, called to establish God's kingdom on the earth, the kingdom of light. So this light that we're speaking about is on the inside of each child of God, because the revelation of Jesus dwells in there. And Jesus himself said, "Who has seen me has seen the Father." Now, for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about and studying on the kingdom that Satan is setting up on the earth, what it is, and even some of the things we see on the rise in the natural. Satan's kingdom is the kingdom of what? What does the Bible call it? Darkness. The kingdom of darkness. He blinds the people by deceiving them, and more so as we see the day of Christ approaching. Come on, people are really being deceived. Can I hear an amen? Sometimes we look around and we think, how much crazier can it get? Like, really? I mean, we've seen a lot of things years ago. I mean, especially us who have lived longer, but we've never seen as some of the crazy stuff that we see today. So we know it's on the rise. It's definitely there, and it's becoming very well established. And but God wants to establish the kingdom of light. We're not even to worry about what's happening there, because we know we win in the end, right? I mean, we know that. So we are called to establish the kingdom of God on the earth, and God uses us. Don't look to the missionaries who are going over to these different countries, these war-ravaged countries or poverty-stricken countries, to preach the gospel. That's wonderful. You can send your money along over and you know, you're a part of that. But God wants you to shine right where you are and to gather together, because there's a scripture in the Bible that it says that a city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. That's you and I. When we gather here, we are guess what? The more candles you bring in, the brighter it gets, and the less you can hide it. And so when we gather together as a church, as a people, we're brighter than when we're separate. Amen? And so the Bible even tells us that as we see the day approaching, we should gather together more often. So if you need more brightness in your life, get together with others and pray. It increases the light, because each one of us individually has the light. But do some of us let our light shine brighter than it? Yes, I do believe that. And I want to teach us today how to be the brightest you can be. You know, you get all kinds of watts on your bulbs. You can get the 7 watt for your little night light, some even 5. I want to be, I don't know what the brightest one is, but I want to be like maybe 100. Because I do know that some of us shine brighter than others. And it's not that God is decides who shines the brightest. No. We're going to see a little bit as we unfold here how we can shine brighter than ever. So let's let our light shine. We are the light of the world. And that's how God establishes his kingdom, is through that light. Now, the kingdom of darkness is established through lies, deception. And it works through those, listen carefully, that are self-righteous. God's kingdom, on the other hand, is light. The kingdom of light is built upon revealed truth in our hearts and works through those who are righteous by faith. So it's exactly the opposite. If you want to understand, you got to understand, you know, you see God's kingdom and how it operates, you can know that on the flip side, it's exactly the opposite. And one thing I need us to focus on and to think on is this. Darkness, which is the kingdom of Satan that's being established on the earth, can never put out the light. But light always dispels darkness. So do you think, with that understanding, because you've got to understand that Satan is building a kingdom, okay? And eventually, he's got a plan. He's got an end game. He wants to take over. He wants to take over a body, and that's how he becomes the Antichrist, where he can have his hour of power. I've said that over the last couple of weeks, where he can rule. And we know it's going to happen. He will have his hour of power, but we also know it's not going to last very long. But let me ask you this. How can he take over? How can darkness take over unless the light is gone? So if you're still sitting here wondering whether we're going to be around when Satan comes to power, no. It's impossible. The light, before darkness can take over, light's got to be gone. I mean, you can turn all the lights out and the power can go out and it's dark. But if you light one little match, it's no longer dark, completely dark. And so you need to understand, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Don't worry about him establishing his kingdom, because you, one little light can stop him, can stop the darkness from taking over. Understand what you've got inside of you, this light. Satan hates it. He's trying to get this darkness, but when, you know, like you can imagine, he's got it all dark, and all of a sudden this one little light pops up, and he's like, you know, he's got to get rid of that light. You are the light. Shine. We're not fighting against demons or against each other. This fight to establish God's kingdom is just to shine, right? And you'll frustrate the darkness. Just shine. That's all we do. We don't got to fight, throw accusations or fling, oh, I bind you, and then no, just shine. Because as soon as the light goes on, guess what the Bible says? Darkness flees. And so we're not fighting devils or, you know, bless God, I'm going to send this or I'm going to do that. No, just simply shine. So how do we really just let it shine? Is it preaching? Simply preaching and sharing the gospel of Jesus? That's a big part of it, yes. But you know what? It's so much more than that. So much more. And if we want to shine to our brightest, we need to have an understanding of what it really is. So I want us to turn over to Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In other words, what is it saying? It's not the physical things. The kingdom of God is not the physical things we do, we eat, we drink. It's nothing to do with that. But what is it? It says, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, if the truth were told, I just said it, a lot of us are not shining as brightly as we would want to be. We don't feel very righteous. How many of us have ever had days like that? Come on, be honest. You can't be honest with yourself. You can't be honest with anybody. I have lots of days of those. I don't feel very righteous. I'm not experiencing a whole lot of peace in my life. And, you know, you put that smile on your face, but joy, you know, that kind of goes up and down like a yo-yo. Happy today, not so happy tomorrow. And I believe that what I want to share this morning is really something that the Holy Spirit showed me just last week. It seems that in our own lives, whatever it is that we lack or we seem to lack, you know, we've been hearing so much about, you've got to know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. That is prerequisite to reigning in life. Romans 5:17. Those who have received the gift of righteousness and abundance of grace will reign in life. How many of us, yes, we want to reign in life? Come on. And then we spend a whole lifetime trying to get to that place where we're reigning in life. And we're told, okay, you gotta understand righteousness. So we seek after righteousness. Now the Bible does say seek after righteousness, but it says seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Or it might be something else. We always seem to focus on what we don't have or what we feel like we need more of. Okay? So I don't want you to go now out and focus on the light. Oh, I need to get a bigger light. These things, peace, joy, right? They're all fruits of the Spirit. Okay? They're fruit. And fruit, we know, grows without any effort. Right? You don't see fruit struggling on the branch to grow. As long as the fruit is on the stem and the stem is connected to the vine, the fruit it's just a natural thing, right? And so these are fruits that ought to be growing in us. And you know, my experience has been in the past when I do focus on something that I feel I have a need for, it seems to elude me even further. I can mentally assent to something and say, yes, I am this, I am that, I have this, I have that. But it never seems to get any closer. In my mind, I know it belongs to me. But when does it really become mine? So I want to go back and I want to read once again 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in your heart and mine to give the light of the knowledge, to give the light of the knowledge of what? Of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So the light has shone inside of you to give you, Diane, the knowledge of the glory. What is the knowledge of the glory in the face of Jesus Christ? What is the knowledge of the glory? Well, if you recall, over a year ago, maybe 2 years already, I did a teaching on God's glory. And how to interpret what it really means. Because so many times, we use glory to God, we read the word glory, and what do you think of? Because we work with the pictures in our minds. The pictures that we form helps us to gain a better understanding. So what do you see when you see the glory? Do you see bright lights? And, you know, what is this glory? Because the light has shone in your heart to give you the knowledge of the glory of God. And if you recall the teaching I did, I took it out of the book of Exodus chapter 33, verse 18, where it says, when Moses was with God and he said, God, I beseech you, show me your glory. God, I beseech you, I want to see your glory. And in verse 20 to 22 of Exodus chapter 33, God said, no man is going to see my face and live, but I am going to put you on a rock. Now we know the rock represents Jesus. And I'm going to put you in a cliff, under a cleft in the rock. And I'm going to hold my hand over you. That all just speaks of God. We are in the right. He is upholding us with the right hand of his righteousness. And then I'm going to pass before you. And what does God say? I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. What is the glory of God? It's the goodness of God. So the light has shone in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the goodness of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what that light is designed for. It's not shining in our hearts to show us where we're missing it or how we're not what we should be. You know, some people think that's what the Holy Spirit is. He's the one who shows you where you're missing it and when you sin or when you mess up. No. The light that is shining in you is shining the knowledge of God's goodness. That is the light. That is what you are supposed to be shining forth to others, the goodness of God. God's glory is God's goodness, his grace, and his mercy. He says this in verse 19 of Exodus 33. God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and have mercy on whom I will have mercy. In other words, when my goodness passes before you, you know what you're going to see? Grace and mercy. That's what has shone into your heart. That is what makes the joy rise up, the Holy Spirit. That is what gives you peace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, and we beheld the glory. What is the glory? The goodness of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. Now, you can't separate grace and truth. Grace and truth are one. The truth is, Jesus is grace. And grace is the truth. God's goodness and his grace is his glory. Isaiah 60. Now it makes sense. Verse 1. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. Whose light? Your light. Thy light. I mean, Jesus is your light. The goodness of God has come. When Jesus came, God so loved, he gave Jesus. Arise and shine. For thy light is come. The light is in you. And the glory is what? The goodness of the Lord is risen upon you. It comes from within because it's in you, rises upon you. So what is God's goodness? It's his grace. It's God's grace. His undeserved favor to us through Christ. And the Lord spoke these things, or this one thing in my heart, a couple of weeks ago already, and it was this, that above all things in your life, above all things, all the things that you hold dear. Now, I'm not talking about your earthly life. I am talking about in things pertaining to God. Above all the things pertaining to God that you hold dear and that you treasure and that you think on often, that we are most grateful for, and the very one thing that you would not be willing to do without, it is the very one thing that you should derive the greatest joy from, it is God's grace, his glory, his goodness, his grace in the face of Jesus. Now, if I were to ask us here this morning, if there was anything pertaining to God, if you had to give up one thing, or if you could only keep one thing, what would it be? It would be his grace, because in his grace are all things. because my grace is sufficient to supply you with all things. Now, I need you to understand what grace is. And we need to throw out, you know, like, well, we have to be careful with this message. Grace is your free access to God through Jesus Christ unto all good things. That flow is never clogged up or stopped. You cannot do anything to stop it except not receive it. It's continually coming at you, and we push it out of the way. We push it out of the way. And I know in my own life, it is my, you know, I even told the Lord, and that's kind of how this whole conversation started. I said, this is my happy place. Anybody got to have, you got to have a happy place, because there's sometimes so much sadness around us, so much disappointment, so much darkness. You need to take yourself away and sit in your happy place, a place where you are completely happy. There's nothing lacking. A place where you completely feel accepted, and that there's no problem that cannot or that is not in this place already solved. And that is the grace of God. It's my happy place. It's my place where I can completely be me, knowing that it has nothing to do with me or my performance, but it is all Jesus Christ in his performance. And that all of these things that I might feel in this life I need are already mine. And the more that we go to that happy place and sit in that happy place, and the Lord showed me, the more that you treasure, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is, the more that that grace becomes the very thing that you run to, the more you're going to shine. It's the goodness of God that leadeth a man to change his mind. It's God's goodness. And you, when you are so full of grace, guess what happens? You can't shine outwardly to something that's not going on inwardly. That grace begins to flow to others, and they begin to see it in your life. When God's goodness becomes so real to you, you can't help but it just spills over into other people's lives, and they look at you and they're like, I don't get it. How come it's just so good in your life? I want what you have. So it's not necessarily just preaching the gospel, which the gospel is good. But when they see the goodness of God at work in your life and in your heart, and it's just flowing out of you, that's what really it is all about in establishing God's kingdom. Let that light shine. Let the goodness of God shine in your life. Don't make it look like you serve a nasty God. Because sometimes Christians can look like, you know, that their God's not all that good. But God is all good, all the time. I don't care what level you're on, where you're at, what you've done, didn't do, what you're going to do, or what you're doing. His grace is completely flowing towards you, and that grace will supply every need that you have. I don't care how big it is or how small it is. It's already finished. And you see, Jesus opened up a way through the cross for that grace to come through like a knife. Nothing can stop it. Jesus already paid for it. And all you have to do is be humble enough to receive it, even though you know you don't deserve it. And that's the hard part. How can I receive such goodness, God, when I've done nothing? In fact, I've done everything that I shouldn't have done. And yet, you still meet all my needs. You still heal my body. You still deliver me from financial problems. There's nothing good that God will withhold from you. The Bible says that if he was willing to give up his only son, will he not freely give you every good thing? Grace, grace, grace is where our focus should be. And in order for us to focus on God's goodness and God's grace, We have to get our focus on Jesus. Because Jesus came to demonstrate God's grace. But you know what? It's not just a demonstration. It is now a reality. It is a reality, and you got to see it as a reality. You got to say, oh my goodness, this is mine. I'm not looking in the demonstration saying, yeah, isn't that wonderful? That's lovely. I understand that demonstration. No, it's your reality now. Just and that reality at work on the inside of you, Revelation, is the light. And when grace becomes your reality, I guarantee you, you are going to shine brighter than you will ever. You're going to blind people. But you need to focus on your on that happy place, on that grace. Because let's face it, if we focus on anything less, it's not going to be a happy place. Right? Or it might be a happy place tomorrow, but the next day it's not going to be so happy. So grace is where we need to get our focus. God's grace. Make much of it. Make it huge in your life. Cherish it. Be thankful for it. Be so grateful to God for that grace. And the more thanksgiving you give for His grace, like I said earlier, thanksgiving releases blessing. You are causing that grace to increase, because that's what blessing is. And grace begins to super abound in your life to the point where you're like, whoa. And the easier you're going to be able to receive all God's goodness, His good things. You're not trying to believe that I am righteous and I have the peace of God. No, it's going to be easy to believe, because grace will open up your heart to be able to receive things that you could have never received otherwise and have them be a reality on the inside of you. Jesus came, and He didn't just demonstrate the grace of God. He was the grace of God. And He is the grace of God. And He is living in us. So the reality of it is Jesus, who is grace, is in us. Nothing can keep it from happening and from manifesting in our lives. In the book of Psalm, it says, chapter 34, it says, they looked to Him, meaning Jesus, and were lightened. They looked to Him and were lightened. What does the word lightened mean? It means to sparkle. The more we look to Jesus, we see the grace of God. We see God's grace, His goodness, and we will begin to sparkle. Because His goodness, His grace is His glory, and that glory shines back to you, and then we're all lit up. And the more we look, the more glory. Remember, Moses went up to the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. He came back down, and the glory of God was all over his face. They actually had to cover his face up. And the Bible says, if the old covenant was glorious, oh my goodness, how much more glorious the new. Because we're looking right into the face of God. And we will sparkle. And when you're around people, they're going to love it when you're around. I just feel, I don't know what it is. They won't understand it. But you're shining. They're going to feel warm. They're going to feel accepted. That's establishing the kingdom of light, is be filled with the grace of God, who is Jesus Christ. And this is how God establishes His kingdom. It's not so much about what you do. It's like the Martha and Mary again. Mary has chosen that good part. She just sat at the feet of Jesus and just took in His loveliness, who He was. And Jesus even said, nobody can take that from her. Out of all the things and the activities that we do daily, the one that's going to be the most beneficial is that one very thing. Is to spend time pondering, thanking God, making much of His grace to you. And all the other things will be added to you. All the things you think you need And take that time every day, not to ask and beg God to do things in your life, but just to give thanks for his grace, which has supplied everything. Amen. We're gonna close with communion this morning.